Sanders fell back into steely silence. He crossed his arms over his chest. He muttered, "Man, what I'd give for a hot fudge sundae right now." Rainey glared at him harder. They all fell silent. The seconds ticked off. After a moment, Quincy said, "Third action step." He looked at them both. Rainey nodded to show she was paying attention. Sanders returned to the conversation more grudgingly. "We go back to what you were doing this morning, Rainey. A complete list of other possible suspects. Vander Zanden, Charlie Kenyon, Richard Mann, Melissa Avalon's father, this computer person, Nolava." "I'm working on that. I just don't have a lot of manpower." "Fine," Sanders interjected crossly. "Let's divvy it up between us." "What the hell? We can pretend cross-jurisdictional investigations really work. I'll take Vander Zanden. The Fed can have Nolava, since he's stolen my computers. Luke Hayes has Melissa Avalon's father." "I'll take Charlie Kenyon and Richard Mann," Rainey volunteered. "Perfect," Sanders said flatly. His eyes met Rainey's with open challenge. "That just leaves us with one last suspect, Shep." "No way. He's the sheriff, whose time at the school is completely unaccounted for. We know he's got problems at home. We know he's an older man, which makes him exactly Melissa Avalon's type. And we know he goes way back with you, Connor, which makes this whole damn case even more interesting." Rainey decided to ignore that last comment. She said tightly, "Shep called me from his radio after the shots were fired, meaning he was in his patrol car, not at the school. Or he did the deed, returned to his car in the parking lot, and made the call. Shep wouldn't frame his own fucking son. We don't know what he did. Come on, the evidence is all over the place. Danny did it. Wait, no, a second person's present. Maybe he did it. You said it yourself, Connor. Danny's got the perfect defense right now."